Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work.
I'm your host, Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined once again by Chris Lemma. In this episode of the Store Builders Podcast, Chris and I discuss the ramifications of the Magento 1 end-of-life announcement. In 2018, the popular e-commerce platform site Magento announced that their popular version 1 would stop being updated and supported in June 2020. Since then, several web developers using Magento 1 have migrated to other platform sites or upgraded to Magento 2. However, there are still several sites hosted on Magento 1, and those sites have an important and timely decision to make. For e-commerce websites that are still hosted on Magento 1, there are no easy answers. Switching platforms or upgrading to Magento 2 will be costly, time-consuming processes. On the other hand, staying on Magento 1 could potentially leave them exposed to security threats, and certain features may not be compatible with other upgrades they wish to make. On this episode, you'll hear the story of Magento 1 and what is really happening in 2020. Magento has stated that it will stop supporting Magento 1 in June 2020. Magento 1 will not be shut down, and stores will still be able to run if they wish, but they will do so without support from Magento. Next, we will discuss the possible uses of Magento 1 after 2020. Although e-commerce platforms on Magento 1 will continue to function, there will be no new product updates or security patches. Then, we will talk about when store builders should consider making a change, and the correct answer is yesterday. Store builders and store owners alike know that building a store takes a lot of time. So if you have a substantial store hosted on Magento 1, you will need a lot of time to make the move. After that, we will cover some key factors to consider when changing platforms. While there are many factors to consider, stores doing a moderate amount of business may want to consider switching over to platforms like WooCommerce, Shopify, or BigCommerce. Large stores with high demand and high growth may want to consider upgrading to Magento 2. Finally, we will talk about how to have this conversation with your clients. It's important to know what your clients' needs and interests are before making the switch. If you host your website on Magento or are curious about the current options for e-commerce platforms, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Chris Lemma.
All right, Chris, welcome to the show. It's great to see you again. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing great. We've got a big announcement we're talking about today, the Magento 1 end-of-life announcement. Let's start by talking about what Magento 1 is, and then what was the big announcement that they made?
So the announcement they made was a while ago, It was the fact that, and actually, the one way to think about the announcement was they made the announcement years ago that they would keep support for as long as they could, right? And you go, okay. So Magento 1 was the first edition of 1 point something, because there's all these point releases. It was the first edition of Magento, the software that runs and powers a whole bunch of e-commerce stores. In 2014, they released 1.9, right? They've said, hey, we're going to, we commit to supporting as long as possible. That ends, right? The dynamic of now having a V2, and they announced V2 early, and then they rolled out V2, and different people have adopted V2, and all that. And there's another version of, all the point releases come on. But there's a whole bunch of people still on 1.9. Right, which is the 1.0 or the one version one. There's a bunch of people on that, and part of the dynamic is, okay, at some point you have to move forward, right? And so, in 2018 they said, we want to let you know that June of 2020 is the date, right? June of 2020 is when support for Magento V1 ends.
Okay,
that's the announcement. It's been out for a while. There had been an earlier date that got pushed back, but we're now, right? If you think about it, we're at the time when you'd have to start going, okay, if I don't make a decision shortly, I have made a decision, right? by default, I've made a decision. And that decision, of course, is that I'm just not going to do anything about this. And that, for some people, that may be okay, right? But for a lot more people, you go, huh? And so for store builders, when we talk to them, we go, hey, what are you doing about this Magento dynamic, the end of life for you know, V1? You have a whole bunch of stores that are on older versions of 1.9. You want to get them to 1.9, and then you want to go, hey, once you hit 1.9, what do you want to do next? Mm-hmm. Right? What is the thing you want to do next? And every time you have to make that kind of decision, it's one of those moments where you step back and reflect and evaluate.
Okay.
What's working? What's not working? What should I do?
Okay. So it's not that they're taking it down. They're just going to stop supporting it or updating it.
They're going to stop with releases. The biggest place where that has an impact is that security releases won't get pushed out, right? So it's not like your Magento 1 store is going to stop working, right? Like when the date hits, when June 2020 comes in July, your website will still run. It'll still work, right? But it will work without security patches, which means if there's a vulnerability, if someone figures out how to do something, you're not getting it patched, right? Unless you have a host or developer who's going to do that work for you, right?
Right.
It is an open source code base, right? The community edition. And so that means people can do that, right? But again, like I said, it's one of those moments where you have to reflect and go, okay, what do I want for my store next?
Okay. If you are a store builder and you're on Magento, how do you know what version you're running on?
So if you're a store builder, you probably have a lot of different ways to do that with code. But if you go into the back end, right, and you take a look all the way down at the bottom in the footer, right, you can often find the number, the version there. And again, there are places, there are websites where you put in your URL and it'll run back a check and come back and tell you, right? So there are ways to figure that out. But if you're a store builder, you likely know. If you're a store owner, you likely don't, right?
Gotcha.
So that's the challenge. And if you're a store builder who is working with those stores, right? Mm-hmm. You probably have started having the conversation already. What we find when we're talking to people is that often the biggest question is, where do I go next, right? Because it turns out Magento 1.9 to, you know, 2. Anything, it's not just a push button upgrade, right? It is there's enough of a difference that it is a full project to get your store onto the latest version of Magento, and that means you're going to spend some money, right? And and not little bits of money. And so when you get to that point, you have to ask yourself, okay, where do I go, and what amount of money is worth what I should do, right? And that's where it gets tricky, because the answer is really unique to the specific kind of store and your experience with that store that you have. So store builders, right, need ways to be able to have that conversation with customers about what should you do next, that is contextualized to them, right? To what that store is dealing with.
Right. Okay. I do want to jump into all that, but real quick, I just want to kind of ask, if you're still on that version one at some point, what's a good timeline? When should you really consider changing?
Yesterday.
Okay.
Last year, right?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing we all know, right?
Yeah.
Store owners who own their e-commerce site, if they're sitting on Magento, they know that that store didn't materialize out of thin air in a day, right? Every store owner remembers, right? Like I have had the pool in my backyard now for several years. But I can tell you to this day, right? We started the pool project in April, end of April. We thought we'll be swimming this summer. It wasn't done till February. I remember to this day how long that took. Why? Because the whole time I was sitting here going, okay, there's going to be a pool. We're going to have a pool in the backyard. Just wait. The kids are like, Daddy, when can we get in the pool? No, it's just a hole in the ground. Can't do it. And you just wait and you wait. Building an e-commerce store wasn't fast. You didn't get it in 2 days and turn around. So you remember how long it took. And then when you think about that, you go, okay, if I'm going to make a change, right, either if it's a small change, if it's a small project, I want to do it now before the holiday rush, or maybe right after the holiday rush. I want to do it in January, February. If it's a big project, yeah, I'm starting now. I'm starting now because I have a limited set of months before June 2020 hits.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So let's talk about this change process. What are some things we should think about as we think about migrating to a different platform?
So I think the biggest deal in you know, kind of my take of it is you gotta understand some things about your store, right? So how many SKUs, how many different products and product variations do you have in your store?
Okay.
That's one, right? What's the size of your catalog? And that's, you know, you're going to evaluate things based on that. How many orders are you getting, right? Like, are you getting 100 a week, 1,000 a week, 10,000 a week, right? How many orders are you processing? That's going to have an impact. What is your revenue growth like, right? Are you flat? Are you flat or negative? Are you slightly positive? Are you dramatically positive? And and what kind of complexity do you have with your store, right?
Yeah.
And complexity can mean a lot of different things, right? Whether you're talking about, I have a full B2B e-commerce store that is doing a lot of like tiered pricing based on how much volume you've ordered over time. And I do purchase orders, and I do, like, if you're the full B2B play, right? That's more complicated than if you're just a regular store selling sweatshirts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your SKU count, your order count, your growth and complexity are the things that I would look at to say, this is what helps you figure out what you're going to do.
Okay.
Right? If you're a store builder, right, and you're working with a customer who has a low number of SKUs, a low number of orders, has flat growth and no complexity, you may want to do nothing, right? You may want to leave it on M1 and just support a patch when it needs it here or there, because the cost of moving off the platform doesn't make any sense, right? If you have some complexity, still, you know, low number of orders, low SKUs, flat or negative growth, and you have some complexity, but your complexity is already built for it. You already built it into your current site.
Right.
If you're not growing, if you have a tiny amount of orders and tiny amount of SKUs, right, you may go, it's just not worth the investment to move.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Whereas if you had low SKUs and low orders, but you were seeing growth, right, either slight growth or serious growth, you might make other choices, right? If you were seeing serious growth and you had a lot of complexity, moving to Magento 2 makes a lot of sense. If you're seeing, slight growth and no complexity, right? You might say, okay, let's go look at what a replatform on WooCommerce would cost, because building out a WooCommerce store is cheaper than building out a Magento store, right? So you might look at a replatform, but you're talking about low SKU, low order, and just some growth without complexity. You go, yeah, I can do a much cheaper rebuild on WooCommerce than on Magento 2.
Yeah.
But with high revenue growth, you'd be like, it's a no-brainer. I'm just doubling down. I'm going to move to Magento 2 and move on, right?
Okay, right, right.
So this is how you play it out, right?
Okay.
Is it just, tell me about your store, and then how do we figure out what's right for you?
Okay. So is it a complex process just upgrading to Magento 2? Is it a simple upgrade, or do you have to do full rebuild?
There's no simple upgrade.
Okay.
Right? It is a store rewrite.
Okay.
And that's going to mean you're going to make an investment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of all the Magento projects that I've seen, right? Good ones. I don't mean the fly by night, drop in baseline and just walk away and say good luck, but good ones are 3 to 4 months minimum in terms of how long it takes, right?
Okay.
And you can then think about what that costs in terms of people that are on it and size of projects and everything else. A WooCommerce store, right? If you're talking about simple stuff, right, can be half that time, right? Mm-hmm. so it will cost less. A big commerce store, right? Again, if you have moderate amount of products, but they're high margin, you don't need a ton of sales to make good money and you're seeing positive stuff, but then you need certain other features, a big commerce store can take you less than some big Magento store projects, or depending on the complexity that you're rolling into big commerce, it may take you more mm-hmm. time too, right? So it's an understanding of going, okay, I have to understand the ROI on this kind of project, right? So let's say you just say, how much will that project cost? Well, it could cost you $5,000. It could cost you $25,000. It could cost you $200,000. Those are very different quotes and different amounts. And so that different amount determines whether the person goes, yeah, it's worth it or it's not worth it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where you go, okay, we should figure this out.
Okay. How do you transfer data or numbers? Is that...
You're going to export data. You're going to do database work to load it into a different schema if you need to, or import it into another system. There's work there. BigCommerce has teams that do it. Almost every Magento agency is very comfortable doing it, going from Magento 1 to Magento 2. WooCommerce has plugins that you can load stuff in as long as you're getting the right order. Doing stuff in the right order. It's all possible. It's just work that has to get done. And that's why you don't want to wait till, May and be like, oh, it's May of 2020. I think I should do something about this.
Right, right. And then I know, like, if you're an up and running business, you don't want your store to ever be down. So you're trying to do this on the side.
Yeah.
You build up the other store and then you pull the plug on the old one. Is there any transfer timing?
Yeah. What often happens is you build the store. You take a snapshot of your data on a given day, you move it over, and that way you test everything out. Reports, you test out the theme, you test out, the features and all that. When it's all done, and you're going to likely have multiple iterations of fixing things that you find, when that's all done, you then make another, you take the delta from, so if you did it in, say, March, mm-hmm. then now you're suddenly in August, and in August you go, okay, take a snapshot from March to August. I don't need everything brought over again. I just need the delta, right? And you bring that over one more time and you run that through a bunch of stuff and you're checking for performance, you're checking for other things. And when that's all done, then you say, okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to close the store, the original, the main store. We're going to close that store for as small time as possible, right? And when we do that, we've now stopped ordering over here. So then we take the last bit of delta, right? And we move that over and we change the domain name, right? Move it over to wherever the new site is. And then we turn everything on, right? And it'll take a little bit for the DNS to propagate. But now you haven't lost any orders and you're up and running, right? So it's what we normally call a multi-pass migration, right? Where you're going to bring this over multiple times. To be able to get to a place where you go, yeah, I have everything and I'm ready.
Okay. Do you have to put up landing pages or notices on your old sites to redirect people to the new store?
Depending on how long you're going to turn off, right? So we've migrated stores from different technologies and on different hosts, and we've seen that last migration take, that last little bit of data move over and switch the IP address. We've seen that take an hour or two. And so if the store is normally dead Saturday night from midnight to 6 a.m., you do it there, you don't have any, you have no drama. We've seen other stores where they're like, no, our weekends are our biggest. First, we're going to need to do it in the middle of the week. And second, we're going to need to let people know, hey, Wednesday night from 6 p.m. on, we're going to be closed until Thursday morning, right? And you just kind of go, okay, let's put an announcement out and let people know.
Okay. It seems to me like the last piece of this is really just kind of working with your store owner. I know store owners can sometimes be nervous about change and how that's going to change things. How do you handle that human element of walking your clients through this process?
So I think the biggest deal for a store builder is to ask the question, what's working and what's not working, right? Mm-hmm. Normally what you find is that someone paid tons of money. They have an emotional investment in a particular feature. And then you dig in and you're like, so how many people are doing that? Right. I worked for the store a couple of years ago that was, they wanted to sell the item but then they wanted to make another option that was, or you can buy it as a subscription. Okay. And this was a lot harder a couple of years ago than it was today, than it is mm-hmm. today, but they wanted that so badly. So you do all this work to get this right. So you can buy now once, or you can buy, you know, every 6 weeks, you can buy a subscription, right? Or whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then you come back to it, right? 2 years later, and you're like, so how many subscriptions, right? Like how many people bought? And it turns out, right? People didn't want to buy what they were selling in a subscription model. Like it just, so they're like, we have like 16. You're like 16 out of how many orders? 230,000 orders. All right. So can we just agree, right? You can have an honest conversation about what's working and what's not working. The moment you start curtailing those things, right, you can end up in a situation where you go, oh, again, this makes a difference in what I recommend, right? If right. you're telling me I need to have multilingual store because I had three languages, and you go, great, well, that's going to change what I recommend for you, right? Because you need three languages. And then you go, well, by the way, how's that working, right? It's in mm-hmm. Spanish, it's in Italian. How much are you selling? Oh, we have almost no sales. Well, then should we just do it in one language, right? Because one language, you can do Shopify really easily. Multiple languages, Shopify has it in beta, but not what I would call like, yeah, let's go do it, right? So you'd right. potentially do it somewhere else, right? So as a store builder, your recommendations change based on the context of what is the thing that has to get built. And to do that, you have to have the conversation of what's working for you and what's not working for you. And when people can have that honest conversation about what isn't working, that's when you can get into, okay, so let's define the scope well, let's get it focused, and then let's figure out how do we drive this, right? Magento 2 can do a lot of things. If you have a big store, right, big catalog, high amount of orders, good growth, you want to start right now getting on Magento 2, right? You're like, yeah. I'm ready to go. Let's do this. If you're in that middle is when you start going, should I do Magento 2? Is it worth looking at BigCommerce? Should I look at Shopify or Shopify Plus? Should I check out WooCommerce? And that's where a store builder can be really helpful to have that rubric and know, okay, if you're this and this and based on this, then here's my recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I like that idea of thinking in terms of, you know, when are the holidays going to kick in? You know, is this something yeah. we need to do? If it's a 3 to 4 month timeline,
yeah.
you know, is it now?
Yeah.
Time to
it's,
go?
It's yeah. now. It's always, the answer is always it's now. When should we right. start? Now. We right. start right now.
Right, right.
Because it always takes time.
Right, right. All right, Chris, this was great. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Chris Lemma. He shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on the Magento 1 end-of-life announcement and what that means for online store builders. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast.